brought back memories.
Pastor Powell asked me to speak when I was like 14 years old, and I broke into sweat like you wouldn't believe. Just poured out. I still do that, by the way, but it just brought back that memory. I was back in Lowell, Massachusetts, and a long time ago. So thank you, Pastor, for that. I did not appreciate it at the time, but anyway. Oh, gosh. Well, it's good to see everyone. I'm going to open with prayer again. God, just bless this message tonight, and we just thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. And just let this be real practical tonight as we talk about a subject that is prominent all throughout Scripture. And yet it's kind of rare today. And I thank you, God, for just the revelation that you've given us concerning this subject that makes us who we are as Christians. And so, Lord, just bless this topic tonight and make it practical and just be present with the speaker. In Jesus' name, amen. No sweat, right? No sweat tonight, no. So, Pastor, I got to speak to some pastors a couple of Thursdays ago, a week ago last Thursday, and I was really spontaneous in my speaking. I looked at a few verses and really thought of this concept. It's something that's been really being worked into my life, and I think all of our lives, hopefully since when we got saved. But started to kind of just look at where God has brought me in my own ministry to others. And as many of you know, I'm a chaplain up at Tacoma General. And I do a lot of palliative care. Some of you know what palliative care is, right? How many people know what palliative care is? So palliative care is basically, some people would liken it to hospice, but it's not hospice. Palliative care is when you have a life-limiting illness and you're going to die by whatever it is they've diagnosed. You're going to die. We all are going to die, right? And you're going to die. And so a palliative care team is a holistic approach to helping somebody shoulder and just walk through the process of dying so that hopefully they can even have life while they're dying. From the time they hear that they're going to die till the time that they die, hopefully we can, and I'm part of that holistic team. I work with a palliative care physician, a social worker, an ARNP, and we walk with people and just kind of help them shoulder this fact that they're going to die. And more importantly, how they're going to do it and hopefully take and walk them in. And for me, that's an amazing place to be, right, as a born-again believer, sharing the gospel whenever possible. But it's pretty amazing work. So that's what I do. I'm involved a lot with palliative care, and so we just help people along and help them face death. And I've been a chaplain now since 2013, and I've seen a lot of death, like way more than I ever would have ever anticipated. You know, daily I'm facing death, and in concentrated ways, like people. Chaplains are not just coming in to pray, they're coming in to walk people through, like we just said, in palliative ways. And we get called like, unlike other disciplines, we always get called to those situations. So we're always kind of getting close. So I'm around death a lot. Big deal, right? Well, it is a big deal. and the opportunities are amazing. And I want you to pray for Pastor Emmett, too, who also does this same work. But one of the things that I've watched in death, and my general observation, is that us humans, are not good at dying. We are not good at dying. we are not good at letting people die. And by the way, that makes total sense. God has given us a body. It was supposed to be an eternal body and spirit or soul, whatever it is, that non-corporal part of us. And it was never supposed to be separated, right? It was supposed to be eternal until that darn temptation went on in the garden And in Genesis 2:17, God said, you can have everything in the garden, but don't partake of this. In the day that you eat thereof, you will what? Surely die. No doubt about it, right? And that death would come spiritually and physically. If that physical part came later, Satan probably could come and say, see, you didn't die. Yeah, they did. And there was a spiritual death there. So I want to kind of look at death, the parallels of spiritual death for us as believers and physical death, because there's a lot of parallels, I believe. And that death and dying is something that we've been taught in this ministry that we are to take up our cross, the Word of God says, to die daily. We are to present ourselves a living sacrifice in Romans 12:1, Galatians 2:20, right? I am crucified with Christ. Crucified is a metaphor for what? Death. Death. And so we are to... I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I just skipped some of my Galatians. I did it again. But anyway, it's talking about this crucified life that we're supposed to be living. And the life that actually comes out of that. But I fear that, you know, and I think generally speaking, Christianity today, especially in America, does not anticipate death, spiritual death for self. We don't anticipate it, and it's an ugly thing. And it's really ugly when Christians come into church and don't have any concept of death and dying, spiritually speaking. And so when it comes knocking at their door and Jesus says, we're gonna die today, right? Die daily. We're like, we do everything but we fight, we flee, just like a person, just like, you know, physical death. We flee the situation, we ignore the situation, we deny the situation, we get into our battle mode, we are gonna live today, you know, and that's, I believe, exactly what happens if we're not prepared and we're not living in anticipation of dying like every believer should be, dying spiritually. I probably want to correct that. Dying, and I'll call it just positional death for the sake of the service. Like positionally, I am crucified with Christ. We'll call it positional, okay, and positional death. So hopefully, I got to be careful of my time, be alert to that. But so we're not very good. The world is not very good. I'm going to just say, in general, Christians at the hospital, when it comes to physical death, and I want to be so careful not to judge. I don't know what my death is going to be like. I will tell you this. If all of a sudden I realize I'm not going to be able to breathe very well because my lungs are failing or something going on, I'm going to be a little bit, I'm not going to be totally at ease because it's not natural. But I'm hopefully going to be in the place where I'm just trusting, believing God, knowing where I'm going. Knowing, I love what Pastor shared about Dr. Long the other night, right? I forget the words, but the basic expression was, "Preacher Powell, I'm going into glory." You know, that, I don't know if that was it, but that's the concept. That's not verbatim. And I'm like, I love that. That's a believer who believes and walks the resurrection life of Christianity, the other side of Calvary, right? The other side, what Jesus Christ provided for us in the resurrection. And I just love that. And I'm like, I want to die that way. That's how I want to die. And I've not had a lot of people die that way. I've had several. I had one guy rub my head one night. This was down at the VA. And he was a believer. I'm going to just be speaking about believers in death tonight, physical and positional death. And I remember this really clearly. I'm sitting there, I'm a young chaplain, and he was singing some songs with family, and they left. And then he just reached, I don't know what I said, but he just reached up and he rubbed my head. He said, "You okay, Jim? You okay?" He died the next day. And he said, "Are you okay? I'm going to be all right. I'm going into glory, you know, I'm going to heaven." And he just rubbed my head, He was probably 77 years old or so. And I'm like, that's how I want to die. That's how I want to die. I want to have that kind of confidence. Because this nation is not good at dying. We separate death in the hallways. I was walking down the... We had a terrible death yesterday. It was unanticipated. And that, by the way, unanticipated deaths, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about anticipating death. Unanticipated death is terribly and ugly and so hard to bear. And I just want to be respectful. We've probably all had those things happen. And I get kind of like, it's not a light thing. So please hear me on this. But as far as anticipated death, a 90-year-old person is facing death. They're a believer. It's time for them to go home. And the pastor comes in and starts saying, you're not going to remove that, brother. We're going to, and don't even talk about death, Chaplain Jim, because you're negative. And it's like, and this is a believer, and this is a pastor. And they're like, I'm like, oh, okay. Is there something we're forgetting here? That resurrection awaits this beautiful saint here? And she's about to go into heaven? What about after Calvary? What about what Christ has provided for her to enter into? And I watch that, and it's because Christianity today is not prepared for physical death, never mind positional death, dying to self. We're just not. And we don't hear this topic taught. We do. I've got to say, I thank God for Pastor and that we do hear this theme in the church. But, I mean, just the specific parallel tonight is what I kind of want to bring home. So, people aren't ready. I think I made that clear. they don't really believe there's a next phase, that glory is ahead. They don't really believe that there's this next stage. They don't really believe there's a new role for me in glory. They just don't. We just don't. We forget it. And it's just something to see. I mean, even in our dormitories now, let's talk about positional death. To talk about dying to yourself is a big deal sometimes. But that's what everybody signed up for that's coming into the dormitories. They signed up. We make that really clear in orientation. So what does the Word of God teach us about death? A lot. First of all, and just in its rawest form, death is a nekros, right? The Greek word is nekros, and it means, what does it mean? It means to be separated. And it's all throughout the scriptures that death comes, right? Starting there in Genesis 2:17, that's death. It was a separation that took place. There was a spiritual death, and there was a physical death that would take place. And it's separation. It's separation of the body from the soul. It's separation from an individual who once was connected with God, the spiritual death that took place in Genesis. Adam and Eve, total fellowship with God, cut, broken, death. So death is separation. There is eternal death, right? Where people are going to be separated. The saddest thing in the world is, as Pastor said the other day, the saddest things in the world is to hear that there was no place for them. Remember that on Sunday? And it's like that's ultimate separation, ultimate death, and separation from a human being with the God, their creator. Whew, that's heavy, you know? A separation. We mentioned this positional death. That's what occurs in the believer when we die to sin and, you know, and we go and we die to ourself. So to die for me, Jim Cornwell, is to die to and to have a separation take place for the things that are important to me, that my identity, I'm dead to that. I'm separated from that. It's dead. It's gone. I now live this new life in Jesus Christ. This is what I'm learning as a Christian. This is what I'm learning to do, is I'm learning to live separate from my old identity, my old habits, my old survival mechanisms that has probably helped me to survive in one way or another. It's separation from that. To die daily, I'm dying from those. I'm dying to these kind of things. So the basic idea is separation, relational, right? Have you ever had a relationship that separated, that where it was like, you've heard people say, I'm going to disown you, you're dead to me, right? Have you ever heard that? A father say to his son, what a hard thing that would be. You're dead. Separation, like you're no longer my son. This separation. So not the greatest subject. Kind of can get a little grim, right? A little sad. But God is teaching us something, and our Christian walk teaches it. What does Christ teach us about death? Well, you look to Christ. We start there, and again, Pastor touched on this on Sunday. And in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, in Philippians 2, 7, 8, 9, Christ, I believe death started for Jesus well before the actual Calvary where he was raised up. I believe that death started when he started anticipating his purpose on this earth. When he left the prerogatives of deity, he left the throne room of heaven. I believe there was a certain death there. He was no longer, there was a separation, death. Right? In that sense, and I know I'm speaking metaphorically here, but he left being side by side in the throne room of heaven with the Father, and he took upon himself the form of a servant. Now we're kind of getting into the idea of this positional death that God wants us to live in, letting go of the prerogatives, whatever kingdom we've built for ourselves or imagined for ourselves, whatever throne room we might enjoy sitting in. We're coming to the place where we're saying, I'm going to let that go. I'm going to let go of it. Jesus, it says there in Philippians 2, 7, it says he didn't think deity a thing to be clutched onto, and to be held onto. Like, I'm never going to leave the prerogative. I'm not going to leave the throne room to go down there and take upon the form of a servant. But it says that he thought it not robbery. He let go. And that was the beginning of separation, I believe, of death. Of Calvary for Jesus, if that makes sense. It was the beginning, and he anticipated what was ahead. And so he went on, and we know that we, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but when he finally decided it's time to go to Jerusalem, right? He's like, I'm leaving now. And we're gonna head to Jerusalem. Peter knew exactly that would mean violence and death. And so Peter tried to prohibit him and said, no way, you are not going to Jerusalem. And we know the story, right? Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. This is in Mark 8. But Jesus, turning and looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. And then Jesus called to the crowd, to him among his disciples, and he told them, and this helps totally give context to what he just said, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, separation from you, me, myself, and I, however that works, and I separate, and I die to myself, and that's what that cross is, take up his cross and follow me. The cross isn't just bad situations that are laid in the cross is God every day saying, Jim, I want you to give yourself to me and give and leave those things behind and not give them the value, not give them value above me. And this is where Christ was saying, except you leave your mother, your father, and all these things, your fields, your brother, your sister, your except you let go of these things, you can't be my disciple. Those are pretty heavy words. This is the Christianity we have. And as we've been taught here really well, that doesn't mean I've been loving my parents. It wasn't a separation as in I'm never going to talk to you again. I'm a Jesus follower and I'm done with you. That is not what it meant. It meant that I am not going to keep the relationship I have with you, but I'm going to let that go in order for Christ to use me And that's death. That's a crucified life. So, and then by the way, with Christ, as we look at Christ, that's what I'm just focusing on right now, is how did Christ live a crucified life? It started when he left heaven. He started as he went to Calvary. It ramped up right when he was found in the garden, saying, if, you know, let this cup pass from me. Death is not easy. I'm actually brought to some peace there to see that Jesus, and I'm not putting myself in the same place as he, obviously, but it was like, it wasn't easy. He was about to be separated from the Father. And in the garden, it was tremendous agony that he suffered. And so he said, let this cup pass from me, right? It's not like, oh yeah, give me death. I want to die. Oh, I want to like really die today. You know, God, I humbly come before you, and I want to just give my life. I want to give my life today. help me with this whole thing, right? If it could pass, I'll be all right with that. If this cup could pass from me, and then it really ramps up when he's up on Calvary, and he's like, the separation is finally felt. And Jesus cries out in the ninth hour with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And that is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me, in Matthew 27? It finally became the reality. What he had planned, what was planned by the Godhead was coming into fruition in time now. And it was this separation that we can't even begin to, and we'll get it more and more as we enter into fellowship and as we enter into eternity, what that separation entailed and how hard it was. So death isn't easy. I do not sit here saying death is easy, but let's look to Christ again, and let's go back a little bit, and look ahead, look to what was going on. He said, in John 12, it says, now is my soul troubled. Is this where I want to be? Yes, this is where he kind of figures it. Christ is knowing what's going on here. He's saying in verse 29 of John 12, it says, the people therefore that stood by heard it. Okay, let me start in verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause, I've came to this hour. It's the reason he was there. There's a reason why this death is taking place, right? Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I both have glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. And others said, an angel spake to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. But then he says it, and this is where the other side of Calvary, I think. But if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Death. Now I'm starting to get like a little reason for dying to myself, to Jim. You know, that death of Galatians 2:20 is that something's coming out of it. Something great's going to come out of it. And I'm learning this from my Savior. And we're seeing here that there's something great. We know this, and I'm just kind of highlighting what it's all about. But we look again in Hebrews 12:2, and it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then the writer of Hebrews describes again the reason for death, right? He says, who for the joy that was set before him endured death, endured the cross, despising the shame, but is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what really happened with death was resurrection, was life, was the world being drawn to Jesus Christ. And this is the promise that we have as we die and lose our life so that as others may live. Right? Paul was just continually, he got, Paul, the Apostle Paul really understood this message. And he made it very clear as he ministered to others. What is it in 1 Corinthians 15, I think also? He says, like, I die daily. I'm always being brought to the place of death that others may live, that you may have life. Ooh, this is the gospel. This is our church. This is why we go. I'm constantly, it's not what Jim wants to do on Saturday morning when the Christian athletics program is going on, and I'm called to that, okay? I'm not saying you are, but it's like I'm letting go of the prerogatives of having a really good day up mountain climbing, and I'll go mountain climbing or fishing or whatever it is from time to time, but I'm leaving that, and I'm laying down my life as Christ did. And now I mentioned Philippians 3:10, that I'm fellowshipping in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. It's not a big deal for me to lose, you know, whatever I was going to do that Saturday, by the way. I don't want to make that too big a deal. But it is, but there's something to be said. I'm saying I'm going, and I'm anticipating life's going to come when I go today and I get hooked up with an outreach, whatever God's calling you to. I'm anticipating life. Show me where I can fellowship in your sufferings, Jesus, that I can be conformed unto your death, and the fruit that it brings in the kingdom of God. That's our participation. This is that death thing that's so ugly on one side, but so wonderful on the other. The Word of God is just continually talking about death and dying, actually, from the Old Testament all the way through the New. Except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But when it dies, we're all seed, right? We're all seed. When it finally dies, what does it do? It brings forth fruit, like abundant fruit. Death is a good thing in God's economy. When it's time to die, I'll qualify that. when it's time for this body to die, we'll go back to the parallel of physical death, it's going to be a good thing. And don't you stop it. Pastor won't do this. Don't come up. We're going to pray for resurrection today for Jim, because I don't want to go through that twice. I want to let me go. Now, Brenda knows my living will, so she can help Pastor talk to her. But anyway, but the point is I'm going to heaven. I'm going to go and I'm going to experience eternity with Jesus Christ and all the benefits. And I'm in both in physical death and in positional death, I'm gonna just be so blessed to enter into heaven. Death is not so bad when we anticipate what God has called us to. And he and so I just say to us as believers, let's anticipate dying tomorrow when we wake up. Not physical. Okay, let's straighten that out, right? Not the physical part tomorrow, but just me dying to my own will, my own desires, my own life, and just yielding up my own personality, my own opinion, death, separation from that. I'm okay with that. I'm not going to fight to have. I woke up a couple days ago and I had to talk to somebody. I was sitting on a board of directors and I was all postured and positioned up to fight, because that's what I do. I fight, right? Jim Cornwell, I don't go backwards. I fight. I'm a brawler, right? So I think. And I'm like, and I was all ready, and then God just, as I'm shaving in the mirror, God's just like, really, Jim? Hello? Hello? Romans 12:1, time to die, Jim. I'm like, oh. And actually, I actually started to have a lot of peace and rest. And God gave me a mind and gave me a little bit of a new disposition that I didn't have to fight, but just maybe say a word or two of what he wanted me to say. I was there for a reason, but it was a whole different response because of Calvary, and because of dying to myself and my own stuff, my personality, my fight. And we all think it feels good to fight, or whatever it is you do, or run, or freeze, whatever it's like. But to live in Calvary and die to self and watch God bear fruit, or cast more seed through my life, is an amazing thing, very rewarding. very, very rewarding. Even if I don't see fruit right away, I know the process, and God gives us special peace in this death and dying over time. Okay, so how good am I at dying as a Christian? I'll tell you what, I'm 58. I've been in the ministry now. I've been probably serving God, I don't know, but I'll just say 40 years, probably a little longer than that, but where I really meant business with God, and God kind of tackled me and said, you're mine. And how good am I at dying? I'm going to tell you something, not very good. I'm just getting going at learning how to die to my own ambitions. That little story in the mirror, I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to have this happen more often. I'm going to present myself a living sacrifice today, dying to my, and letting separation take place between my ambitions and God's ambitions. Because I guarantee you it's different. We know the verse. Where is it? You can help me out. My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Where's the verse? Help me. Isaiah 55. It's like, that's really true. And so I'm learning how to die. Who can help me die? What? This is crazy. Let's get out of this place. Come on. This is crazy preacher. Talking about death and dying. You know, this is crazy. You don't hear a lot about, but it's like, who can help me? I'm getting it. I'm getting it. Who can help me die? I'll tell you, my pastor, he doesn't like me using him as an example, but I've watched him model dying to self. You get around people that can, you get around people in the dorms, I don't know how many dormies we have, you get around people that are learning and wanting to die to their own self, life, and who want to live a crucified life, and you watch and you follow them, and you know what, you're going to be blessed, and you're going to enter into a victorious Christian life. And even if that doesn't look like what the world thinks is victorious, which, by the way, is, look at the world we live in right now. It's all so narcissistic, so self-centered. It's gonna, and you suffer because of the sufferings of Christ, life is gonna come. It's a promise in the Word of God. If you've left this, that, the other thing, you know what God says there in Matthew 19, in verse 29, he says, I'm gonna restore that 100-fold as you enter into eternity. It's gonna be, that's a promise, and God will not be mocked. And when he says he's gonna bless you because you sacrificed to serve him, it's resurrection life. It's promised. Christ is our model, seated at the right hand of the Father. We're gonna be seated with Christ in heaven when in living this type of life. So I'm gonna kind of wrap it up here, but we could keep going because there's so much. So death worketh in me, that life will come to you. I have this treasure in earthen vessel in 2 Corinthians 4:7, that the excellency of the power of God and not of me will come through. And I'm going to be okay in verse 8. I'm going to be hard-pressed maybe, perhaps, on every side, and yet not crushed. Perplexed and not in despair. Persecuted but not forsaken. Struck down but not destroyed. Always caring about the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus. This is the correlation. This ties right into Philippians 3:10. The dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus Christ may be manifest in my body. Life comes. Jim, get out of the way, will you? I'm talking to myself. Well, Jim, get out of the way so that I can live. I'm like, okay, I want to do that. I want to do that. That's Calvary. That's separating myself and my own stuff and allowing Christ to reign. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Then death is working in us, but life in you. I'm fellowshipping with his sufferings. It's profound, isn't it? And this is something like we learn. It is a spiritual thing. And it's something we learn and grow in, and God is faithful in this. And so this is what I want my walk to be. Now, when it comes, let's go back to the physical. Oh man, the physical death, and we'll kind of end with that, the parallel. because it's also teaching us the parallel of me living in positional death. But I love this. So in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in a perishable body. Death comes. It's raised up imperishable. This is kind of like the fruit. This is the other side of Calvary. This is the beauty that most people, many Christians never wait for. They never anticipate dying to self, so they never experience this. It's like something happens. There's resurrection life. It is sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. This is the physical body. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown in the natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. This is the fruit of what our forerunner Jesus Christ has given us. And this is a sure thing. It's sure, it's a reality. This is what I love about being a chaplain too, is I come in and I help with perspective, palliative. I help believers kind of just walk through this, and praying that I myself will have that in my death, somebody to walk with me and say, Jim, remember a song, perhaps, right? I went and I sang a song with a lady the other day, Going Up Yonder, by Kim. She's an African-American lady, 80 years old, believer, struggling with pain and suffering of the body. And we just started singing, I'm going up yonder. Have you ever heard that one? I'm going up yonder. Jim's like this white dude. What's he doing here? It's happening though. And I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. And we started singing and she started getting all happy. And you know, we need to be kind of walked along. And by the way, that's what the body of Christ is. I'm bidding you and you're bidding me. Come on, Jim, let's die. Let's sing praise and glory to God as we give our lives. And this body of sin and death, this earthly tabernacle of clay, broken that it is, it starts to manifest the glory of God. And we walk each other along in this. And, you know, crazy, right? Awesome. Awesome, crazy. And then in 1 Corinthians 15:55, it says, now I say this, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. See, this is the truth that we forget when the body's finally breaking down. I'm just saying, we know it and we believe it, but it's like we forget it. That flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery, and this is all a mystery, that we will not all sleep. We will not all die, like dissipate and go into nothingness, annihilation, whatever you want to call it. But we will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when the perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? It doesn't have it on me anymore. It doesn't. And that's the message that I herald out. And for me to die, and on the positional side of death, it's a victory. It's always going to result in victory. You have to hear from God. I'm not talking about being some ascetic, crazy person that's abusing yourself somehow, you know, whipping you. That's asceticism. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying we're sensitive to God about it's time for me to die today to my own self. So let's help each other in this area in a palliative way. Hey, Jim, you're dying today. Pretty good. I like that. You're being a good example for me. You know how to die. Oh, like, wow, that's good. And hold each other up when they're going through these things. You know, I do think, I really will close with this. I do think after Jesus Christ died, Satan woke up to some things. He figured out this death thing is not good. It is not good that Jesus died. I mean, he has brought shame. He has literally spoiled all that I had going. And all my armies, we are ruined. Now I've got some breath left, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to try to push Jesus' sheep over the cliff and make them die positionally. I'm going to try to get them to stay very much alive. And that's Satan's strategy today, I believe, in the church, is make Jim Cornwall, oh man, you stay awake, you stay alive in who you've in all your childhood formation and who you've become as a person and the fighter that you are, whatever, you know, you just stay real alive, Jim. And he uses biblical language and ideas to make me stay alive. And that's Satan's strategy today. And you see that in churches, you know, people come in, it's like, I have to die, really? Oh my gosh. I'm getting, and Satan's like, no, you don't have to die. Just stay alive, you'd be all right. You know, so let's just be alert to it. Let's anticipate it, let's welcome it. Let's anticipate death and dying. Let's welcome it. Let's give our lives in such a way as Christ did, our Savior, the one who where our walk is named after him, and so much more, right? Let's live the crucified life, and let's be asking God, and let's grow in this message. Amen? Okay, God, we just love you, and we thank you. Thank you for Calvary, and thank you for dying and modeling death. Thank you for the people we have in our lives who have lived a true Christian life, giving up the pleasures of this world to lay down their lives and to fellowship in your sufferings so that life and so that life would come fruit. Thank you for those models in our lives. Let us find those models and let us be discipled in this message so that we can just have this type of life and the fruit and fellowship with you. And we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Oh, offering. Don't forget the offering. And Rick's got an offering bucket back there. And if we're still online, just keep giving because you guys are doing a great job. Amen. Amen. Okay.